Carlson, John Gross, and many more. The third annual Improvisation Summit takes place June 6th and 7th at Sandbox Studios, located at 420 Northeast 9th in Portland. Additionally, the Creative Music Guild will screen the film Reach of Resonance on June 5th at the Portland Art Museum's Witzel Auditorium. For more information and tickets, go to creativemusicguild.org.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor Tryon Life Community Farms Bloom Festival on Sunday, June 8th from 2 until 10 p.m. Bloom Festival is filled with live music, activities, local organic food, and performances at the TLC Farm next to the Tryon Creek State Forest, featuring live music by Soul Nectar, Selkies and Cedars, The Dirty Dandelions, Serotone, DJ Carola Mariachi, and many others. There'll be special entertainment by Clown Snot Bombs, performing in the circus act Spaghetti Western. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Again, that's Sunday, June 8th from 2 until 10 p.m. at the Tryon Life Community Farm.
You realize that this is the elevator of relaxation.
Just let me go by myself.
And
that doesn't work.
Okay.
No, I just think you put yourself under a lot of pressure.
I'll go back.
So I'd like you to close your eyes and imagine you're in an elevator.
Where would I go?
And as your eyes become heavier and the elevator begins to go down, you realize that this is the elevator of relaxation.
Just let me go by myself.
And now you're on the third floor, going down. And you could get out, but you want to go on.
Where would I go?
Deeper. Deeper. Deeper into relaxation.
I'll go back.
And you feel that perhaps you'll never want to get out.
Just let me go by myself.
It's so safe here. So comfortable. So relaxed.
7 minutes to get out of here.
Don't change that.
That dial because
you are tuned to the
UBU Hour Radio
Theater Show
on KBOO Portland. KBOO Portland.
And now you're on the third floor, going down.
Okay, this might sting a little.
And you could get out, but you want to go on.
Good.
Deeper.
Good.
Deeper.
Just one more.
Deeper.
Great.
Deeper.
Perfect.
Deeper into relaxation.
Okay, this might sting a little.
And you feel that perhaps you'll never want to get out. It's so safe here.
Good.
So comfortable. So relaxed.
Just one more.
Shut up. Deeper. Deeper. Deeper into relaxation.
A warning to all listeners. The following program may contain profanity. Listener discretion is advised.
Shut up.
Up next, Ubu Hour presents the radio drama, The Opening.
This is how it began. It was a pleasantly cool weekend evening, and Hugh Bauer had nothing to do, nowhere to go, but he did not want to stay shut inside at home. At a bakery, he sips a latte and checks out the people.
I need to do something, but I look around the cafe. An attractive woman in her late 30s in a stylish dress is at the counter.
Yes, we called it in yesterday. Should be under Hank Rearan.
She flips out her phone.
Hi, Hank. I'm at the bakery now. I'll be there in 15 minutes.
Here it is, 30 mini clafoutis and 30 bruschettitas, and uno urn of a coffee.
That's right, that's perfect.
A couple of large boxes of pastries and an urn of coffee are placed on the counter in front of the woman. She can't carry all that by herself. This is my chance. I finish my coffee in one swallow and suck in my breath, prepared to leap off my seat and offer her a hand like a gallant knight.
I can.
I stumble off the bench.
Joe, take the register for a minute. I'll help you carry this out to the car, ma'am.
That would be so sweet of you. Thank you. I'm just out front. The BMW.
Bellissimo, a sweet ride.
Yes. You can put the stuff in here.
Hey, some kind of party or a reception or what?
Something like that.
I feel invisible as I stand there. They chat and flirt for another moment, and then she's in her car, gone. I step outside and see the car vanish down the street.
Hugh gets on his bike and begins to drift through the streets, heading towards the river and downtown. He coasts down Sandy as it slashes Lower Buckman in half, past bars and restaurants where people are outside, talking and laughing and holding hands.
I turn down a side street, into darkness and an ominous stillness. While beyond the city is a wash of sound, as I approach the corner, I hear a man's voice. He stands outside a red Lexus as he talks on his cell.
What did you say, dear?
You didn't forget about Hank and Marta. It starts in an hour. Where are you?
I've just finished here. I'll be home soon, Laura. Not that I look forward to another vacation slideshow.
That was Marta's deal. No, this is Hank's movie.
Did he finally get it done?
Yes. Opening, close.
What's that?
That's the title. Opening, close. Or is it close opening?
Stupid title.
Dick and Penny will be there.
Dick and...
You remember, Dick Newsome and his wife Penny?
Yeah, Dick Newsome.
Dick the prick. Who the fuck cares about him? But Penny, I remember her. Who could forget her? Penny, Dick, Penny, Dick, Penny. Dick Penny Newbilesome. Yes, I think I do remember her.
I can't wait to see what Hank has done. The man is a true artist, a real genius. See you soon, Blake.
Sure thing, Laura. I'm on my way.
Then I start the car. Hank, a true artist? More like a bullshit artist. But I can let myself be dragged into it if it means another look at Penny Newsome. Then the phone rings again, and as I fish it out of my pocket and flip it open, I almost hit a bicyclist who peers out of the dust.
Hey, watch where you're going.
Fuck you too, asshole!
Blake, is this a bad time?
Not you, Max. Some fucking kid on a bicycle tried to cut me off.
Oh, man. I hope you ran him over, Uncle Blake.
Yeah? Maybe I should go back and do that.
Some people are just scum. Anyway, I got the blow. Real good stuff.
CDs! You got the CDs I wanted.
Doesn't this idiot know that the NSA are listening in?
Yeah, that's right. The CDs. Real good shit.
Okay, let's not talk right now. Hey, maybe we can meet in an hour. I have to go to this gallery thing downtown. I'll meet you out front beforehand.
A gallery thing?
Yeah, they're showing a movie.
Can I go?
I don't know. It's invite only. I'll meet you out front.
But if you and Laura are going, can't you bring a guest?
I don't know. They'll be boring shit, Mac. You know these gallery people. Bunch of pretentious cocksuckers with their thumbs up their assholes.
Yeah, but maybe they got some free booze and some hot bitches. You can get me in, Uncle Blake, can't you?
I don't know, Mac. You'll have to talk to Aunt Laura.
Shaken after the close call with the man in the Lexus, I need a beer. The closest microbrew is a few blocks away on Morrison. The outdoor patio is packed and I don't want to go inside. From the outskirts, I hear voices. A man and a woman at the nearest table several feet away.
Things will be fine, Dick. You don't need to be so apprehensive.
I can't help it. I'm in this thing for 70. I just hope Hank didn't blow it.
Of course he didn't blow it. Hank is an artist with a unique vision. Dick, is that all that's bothering you?
Nothing else, Penny.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure, Penny. What else would it be?
Besides the money, maybe you're afraid of what you'll see tonight.
Afraid?
On the screen. Me.
Nothing too racy, I hope. At least in your scenes.
I want you to know that I love you, Dick. Whatever you see tonight, it was done in the name of art. I love you and only you, Dick.
Then it is too racy. Don't tell me.
Listen, Dick. If this thing goes south, all you lose is your 70 thou. But I will lose a lot more. The chance of the career I've dreamed of. A shot at the big time. My entire future is riding on this venture.
If this thing goes south, I sure hope Hank knows what he's doing.
The South, where things go to die. The South is the epitome of loss and failure. The South, our scapegoat for all our failings. The American South, the Global South.
Huh?
Nothing. Just some lines from Hank's film. You'll see.
It's getting near to the time. We'd better pay the bill and get out of here.
The man and the woman are at their car. They kiss. Then he opens the door and she climbs in. And then he goes around to the driver's side. I'm on the bike again, alone again. Even in the dim evening light, the woman radiated beauty. Tall and slender, with large eyes and stylish hair. But now she and the man are gone, and I'm alone with my thoughts on my bike on Ankeny, headed up to 28th.
People have places to go, things to do, but not Hugh. Nothing. He doesn't want to go back to his dingy basement apartment. He is looking for someone or something. He wants to escape from the shell he has built around himself. He loops around 28th. Everyone is with someone else. And then he's at the light in front of the theater.
She's several feet away near the newspaper boxes. High heels and nice curves spilling out of a too-tight dress. She looks at her watch. The light is about to turn green. I walk past her to the newspaper boxes and grab a mercury from one and look again at her.
The light turns red again. A longer chance to glance over at her, but she doesn't seem to notice him. The light turns green, and he starts across the street with the paper clutched at the handlebar.
The newspaper is several days old. I dump it a couple streets over and circle back towards the theater. I got to do something. I can't just give up without trying.
The woman is still outside the theater, by herself.
Hi there.
Hi.
What movie are you gonna see?
None. Just came out. The Coen Brothers.
That didn't just come out. It's been out for half a year.
No, I just came out of the theater. My friend is supposed to be here any minute, and I left my cell in his car.
That's not good.
No, if I had the phone, I would call a cab. I need to get to this thing downtown.
Maybe I can help, if your friend doesn't show up.
You got a phone on you?
No, just a landline at home.
That's some help.
I can give you a ride downtown.
On your handlebars? Don't think so.
No, I have a car. A couple blocks away.
You have a car?
Uh-huh. I live over there a few blocks.
Okay, I'll tell you what. You come back with the car before the other clown, you can take me downtown, and you can even come in with me. It's guest list only. Got that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll be back.
And then I race home to get the car. One part of me says, hurry, hurry, before she's gone. Ride like hell, you idiot, or you'll lose the chance. And another part is saying, whoa, don't rush too much. You'll start to sweat and smell. Another part is like, why bother? Probably's not happening. When you get back there, she'll be long gone.
But when he drives back to the theater, the woman is still there. He pulls up in front and rolls down the window. She looks mildly annoyed at the old Subaru, and then shrugs and climbs in.
Gallery Zinc. Know where it is?
Downtown?
Yeah. What's your name?
You.
Nice to meet you. You can call me Lou.
You and Lou, I think to myself. It sounds right.
Don't get any stupid ideas, kid. Keep your eyes on the road.
So what's there at this gallery?
It's a movie debut, a sneak preview.
You just saw a movie.
Yeah, that was just to relax. Anyway, this guy, Hank Rearend, been working almost 2 years on this film. It's avant-garde, so it probably has no plot. Hopefully it won't be too big a load of pretentious masturbation like a lot of avant-garde.
Sounds like a real blast.
At least there's free drinks. If you don't like it, get drunk and leave.
Is that why you're going? Free drinks?
Yes and no. This is a job. I'm in advertising. I have to find a way to publicize this turkey.
And now we are at the Gallery Zinc. In the front area is a table with various wines and hard alcohols, and another has platters of hors d'oeuvre. A doorway leads into the large dark room where the movie will soon begin.
Lou, you finally made it!
Hey, Hank. Good to see you again. Really stoked to finally see what you came up with. Hello, Marta.
You want something to drink, Lou? Help yourself.
Sure thing, Marta. Who's the guy over there with Blake?
Brought him.
I don't know why they brought him. Laura's nephew, Nick or Mac or something.
Nick Mac. He looks like he just got out of the pen. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Lou. Have you met Zbigniew and Chakov yet?
The Russians? No, I just got here. Where's that drink?
So, what's the title again, Hank?
Close and Opening.
Some of these people look familiar. I pour myself some wine. I don't know what to say to anyone.
Not here, Mac. Help yourself to some hors d'oeuvres.
Do you think it'd be okay if I made myself a drink?
Well, don't let Laura see.
Thank you, Uncle Blake.
I do not believe I have had the pleasure.
Penny Newsom.
Penny, I am most charmed and delighted.
And you must be Zbigniew. I was just talking to your partner, Chokov.
Yes, my business associate, but you mustn't listen to his boorish comments.
Blake, you remember Dick Newsom. Dick, this is my husband, Blake.
Yeah, good to see you again.
And my nephew, Mac. Now, where did Mac go to?
He's over talking to Chokov. Dick, you look like you need another drink.
And you are sure that's what it says, my friend?
Yeah, I think so.
You are quite sure, then?
Yeah, I would say so.
This smells good.
I stand at the side of the room as the conversations swirl around me. I feel invisible as I sip my drink. Why did I think this would be better than bicycling around by myself? I feel even more alone. Maybe when the film starts, things will be better. When I can sit in a dark room and not feel conspicuous in my solitude.
Okay, come on, everyone. The show begins in a minute. Into the theater. Come in, everyone.
Not before I refill my glass. Hank, pass that bottle.
Close and opening is about to begin. You're all in for a real treat.
What is there to say about Hank Rearend's project, Close and Opening? Hank himself would say this.
This work is my masterpiece, the one that puts me on the map. It's a love story and a story about conflict. It mixes high art and low art. It fuses the Eastern concept of yin and yang with Judeo-Christian symbolism. It is a tour de force journey into what makes us human. It boils down to the pure essence of art, with bold images and stimulating dialogue. Close and Opening will blow audiences away across the nation and around the world.
The movie starts, and what do we see? Abstract images on a screen. Badly dubbed dialogue that doesn't make sense. A confusing plot with two characters named Yinep and Na. A blurry image of a woman in white dress is superimposed over landscapes and factory machinery. I can't do justice trying to explain it, so let's jump right in.
My luscious maiden, come close to me.
I can see you. Why do you hide in the shadows?
Come here, darling Yinep.
You know my name?
Yes, I know you, Yinep.
Come with me.
Come here in the shadows so that you can know me too. Do not be afraid of darkness. I will not hurt you, my lovely, precious Yinep.
But I do not know your name.
What is in a name? There is only you and I. Come here, and I will tell you what they call me. Embrace the darkness.
I could count the number of leaves in the tree for 5 hours.
But you know my name, and I do not know yours. It's like you have something over me. I will come closer if you tell me your name.
They call me.
He used to say.
Nah.
Sometimes you need to do something
nah?
to stop you from
yes.
doing something worse.
Nah. That is my name, my sweet, precious Yinep.
He used to say.
Nah? Your name is
Sometimes
Nah?
You need to do something
yes.
To stop you from doing
say it
worse.
Slowly. Nah.
Time for another drink.
Let me fix you one. It's going to be a long evening.
I don't even know if I want to go back in there. Did you have any idea?
You know Hank doesn't share his ideas with anyone until the deed is done. How much are you in for?
70. It's painful watching my $70,000 get slowly burned up.
That would be far more edifying and entertaining than what Hank crapped up there on the screen.
You don't seem too bothered.
Like Hank, I'm not very good at sharing. Frankly, I don't care if this thing goes to shit. Hank goes bankrupt, and then I divorce him, especially after his cinematic wank-off to that skanky little bitch.
Why didn't you warn me before I sank the money in?
I didn't know until later. It couldn't be more blatant. These two characters, it's their name spelled backwards. Na and Yinep.
Here comes another defector.
Hey, Aunt Laura. You're missing the movie.
Are you having a good time, Mac?
It was kind of boring at first, but it's getting better.
Yeah, her dress has become see-through. Good job, Hank.
Yeah, as she gets deeper into the shadows, she becomes more visible. Uncle Blake and Hank wanted the bottle of Maker's Mark. They wanted me to bring it to them.
Go ahead. It's right over there.
Are you going to come back in and watch?
I'll be along in a few minutes.
You should. It's getting really good.
Here you are, Uncle Blake.
Thanks, man.
Hey, need a refill?
I like the way you let it fill your mouth.
One must know one's enemy. if I know his name. Nah, how do you spell that?
It can be spelled many ways. N-A-W. The negation of reality. G-N-A-W. Because I want to devour all that I see. K-N-A-W. As in reference to knowledge. A knowledge that gnaws at the soul. K-N-O-T. With a near silent T. As in the knots I tie around slender wrists and thighs. Or N-A-U. As in naughty.
Or nauseating.
How about not as in not any good?
It can be spelled many ways, but which way is correct?
There are no correct ways or incorrect ways. Choose the path you want to take.
Her name was Yinep, also known as Yin. His name was Na, sometimes spelled G-N-A-W, which backwards is Wang. The Confucian concept of the yin and the yang goes back many centuries before Christ. Yin is characterized as slow, soft, yielding, diffuse, cold, wet, and passive. And is associated with water, earth, the moon, femininity. Yang, by contrast, is fast, hard, solid, focused, hot, dry, and aggressive. And is associated with fire, sky, the sun, and masculinity.
Yin and Yang, the symbols in a 69. I have much to show you, my precious Yinep. Come deeper with me into the shadows. I will open your eyes and your mind. I will open you up to...
But the darker the shadows...
The more we can see.
That's right. The more we can see Chokov.
That is right, Zbigniew. She has big fuckability. Bringing lots of money in the foreign markets.
Where are we going? Where are you taking me?
Look at him titties, Uncle Blake.
Sir, must you be so vulgar?
Manhang, who's the girl? She's hot.
Yes, she was my muse. You don't recognize her.
Of course you do, Blake.
No, I don't recognize her, but I sure like to meet her, and that's M-E-A-T meet her, if you know what I mean.
Ah, good one, Blake.
You pig.
Yeah, I'd like to squeeze those titties.
Look at that. Where did you find her, Hank?
Get a hold of yourself, man. Don't you recognize her?
It's shocking what some people will do in front of a movie camera.
Thank God for that! Look at those amazing breasts on her!
That's what I said, those titties!
Jesus, guys, don't be so crude! She's sitting right behind you, Blake!
Huh? What do you mean she?
How can a woman expose herself like that and... All these men look at her with obscene thoughts.
It's an artistic statement, Dick. You act like it's porn or something.
I hope your scenes aren't anything like this, Penny.
I thought that was you, Penny.
Oh, yeah, that's... Of course, I should have known.
Penny, please tell me that's not... Oh, God, no.
You're pathetic, Dick. Of course it's me.
And you let him do... You let him... Oh, God. How could you, Penny, participate in such filth?
It's not filth, Dick. It's art. I can't believe it took so long for you to recognize me. It's like you don't even know what my body looks like.
Not when you cavort like a slut on a movie screen. Is that what you want, Penny? To be a movie star slut?
Get a grip, Dick. It's not like...
God, Dick, you're so pure and tyrannical.
Don't be a dick, Dick.
Good one, Uncle Blake. Don't be a dickhead, dickhead.
Shut up, all of you. You're all getting too loud. Shut up and watch the movie.
Where are we going? Where are we going? Where are you taking me? What are you going to do when we get there?
I will show you things. We will do things. We will do many things, my lovely little Yinep.
North and south, east and west. He takes her to the place where they are alone. He takes her to the place where they are alone. He takes her. He takes her to the place they are alone. North and south, east and west. He takes her. The place where they are alone. He takes her.
Movie. Come on, Hank. What did you expect with this softcore sophomoric crap?
It is a big deal, Penny. Look at you up there.
She looks fan-fucking-tastic, if you ask me.
Shut your pie hole, Blake.
No, dickhole.
You are a filthy lecher and a despicable cad.
Man, that guy's really flipping out, Uncle Blake.
Fuck, Dick. You don't deserve a hot girl like her.
Shut your yap hole or I'll smash my foot down it.
Look at them fight.
Maybe time to bring out the prostitutes, you, Lou. When do they bring out the prostitutes?
I don't know anything about that.
What are you guys talking about?
Right here, in the invitation we were texted, it says, drinks and hors d'oeuvre be served.
Bring on the prostitutes. Bring on the prostitutes. We want to hors d'oeuvre some whores.
It doesn't say that at all.
But of course it does, right there. We even confirmed it with one of you Americans, that slightly unsavory gentleman over there, Mr. Mack.
That's not how you spell whores.
Of course one can't spell it the correct way in a text mail, or your NSA goons catch wind of it.
I say, bring on the hors d'oeuvres.
This is a big deal, Penny. If you can't see the boundaries between some common moral decency and...
You want to stifle me, Dick. You don't want me to succeed so that you can push your big ego on me. You were so stuck on yourself, you didn't even know that was me up there.
Because I didn't think you'd do anything like that. That's why I didn't recognize you.
You don't even know my body. We've been fucking for over a year, and you don't even know my...
DTMFA, Penny. He's a sniveling, spoiled slob. DTMFA.
Blake's right. There's plenty of guys here who can appreciate a hot babe like you, Penny.
Yeah, you look as good as that girl in the movie.
Look at what you've got, Penny. These motherfuckers are aroused and riled up because of you. Is this the kind of thing you want?
Come on, Dick. Settle down. It's just an art movie.
Just a movie? I can't believe I threw 70,000 into something like that. I thought you were a man of taste, Hank, not a purveyor of smut.
Calm down, Dick. It isn't like that.
I will not calm down.
This is your fault, Hank.
Me? How can you say that?
Can it be more obvious? Spelled backwards, the names of the two characters, Na and Yep, are Hank and Penny? Why don't you just hit on her instead of wasting the money of Laura, Dick, your parents?
So really, Hank, what is this? Why did you make this flick? What is this art project saying?
I think it's pretty clear what it's saying.
I like the way you say my name. I like the way my name in your mouth. It's like I am in your mouth. Come close to me, Yinep. Do not pull away.
Where is this place? Where am I? Where are we? Nah. What are you doing to me, Nah? Why don't you let go of me? The darkness, the fear.
Did you fuck her, Hank?
Nothing happened.
That's what I'd like to know, Penny. Did you fuck him? You need to chill out, man, before I fucking deck you.
That would be just great. That's the kind of guy you are, Blake. You want to beat me up and then rape my wife? But maybe with her it would be consensual.
Maybe you can fuck yourself.
Maybe we can all shut up and enjoy the movie.
Is this your fantasy, Hank, to fuck her?
Baby, you've been advertising your body on the screen. Show them the real thing. Strip off your clothes. That's what they want.
Yeah, take off your clothes, bitch.
Mellow out, man. No one's taking off their clothes.
Maybe she should if the prostitutes don't show up.
We were promised whores. Bring on the whores.
Yeah, bring in some whores.
Go on, Penny. Why don't you strip off your clothes and fuck all these men? Is that what you want? You got them all hot and riled and horny. Now finish the job. Who wants to go first?
I'm out of here. Get the fuck away from me, Dick.
Come back here and fuck these men, Penny. Come back here and fuck out.
That's about enough of that. What a blowhard.
You need an escort?
Just get away from me, Blake.
I can give you a ride, I can.
I said get the fuck away.
As he knocks, I tie around slender wrists and thighs.
What the fuck, Blake? I'm standing right here.
Had too much to drink. It's nothing, Laura.
Nothing? You're hitting on Penny Newsom and it's nothing? The shit that spewed from your mouth the last 10 minutes, and it's nothing. It's bad enough when you do this shit behind my back, but in front of me...
I wasn't hitting on Penny.
No, of course not. He was just trying to feel her up.
You can't hide the drool leaking from your mouth, Blake.
Does your whole life revolve around fucking every female you meet, Blake? You are pathetic.
You're one to talk. Maybe you can fuck yourself.
Yeah, take off your clothes, bitch.
More bickering and arguing. The Eastern Europeans, Zbigniew and Chalkov, leave to find a strip club. Finally, things have calmed down a bit.
Okay, okay. Everyone settle down. How the hell did this happen? How did everything get so out of hand?
People were drunk. Shit happens.
I think it was more than that. Things were fucked up.
Does anyone remember how it started?
No one remembers. Everyone was too drunk. That was too fucking weird to just be something that happened.
Yes, I think I know what you mean.
You think someone was an instigator?
Maybe they wanted to sabotage the film opening.
Someone had to start it. But I know almost everyone here. We could blame the Eastern Europeans, Hank.
No. I've known Zbigniew and Chokov for years. I know everyone here. You're all my best friends, except you. That guy over there.
Me?
Yes. Do I know you?
I don't think so. My name is you.
I don't care what your fucking name is. Why are you here?
I got a ride from Lou. I mean, I gave her a ride.
Who the fuck are you? Does anyone know this piece of shit? I fucking know everyone here, but I don't know this cock-sucking excuse for a human. Anyone?
He's probably the one that started it, infiltrated our private event to sabotage it.
A pathetic loser gets his kicks out of ruining other people's fun.
So why the fuck doesn't anyone know you, buddy?
She was over there, but now she's...
He's got a wild look in his eyes, like he's crazy.
Sneaking in here to cause problems.
A real troublemaker.
No one fucking knows you. Why the fuck are you here?
I'm just about to leave.
You fucking bet you're about to leave before we fucking fuck you up so bad you fucking won't know your face from your fuckhole. Get the fuck out of here.
Look at him run.
What a goddamn coward.
Maybe we should chase him down so that we can beat the shit out of him.
I run out of there fast. That was it. I run down the street. And when I stop to catch my breath, I look across the street. The girl sits in the car. The one in the movie. Her name is Penny, I think. Sitting in the front passenger seat of her car.
There are moments in one's life where paths diverge. You take one road or the other, and your whole life realigns to a new course. He could walk up to her and comfort her and think about the erotic images of her he saw in that dark room. Or he could walk up to her and she could yell,
"What the hell are you staring at, you creep?"
Or he could climb into his car and drive home. Enough adventure for one night. You can decide for yourself how it ends, because this piece has just about played out. You have been listening to
The Opening,
written and directed by Rolf, and performed by
Rolf,
Yehuda Bangs,
Larry,
Virginia Furr,
Sean Sorensen,
Kim,
Twilight Callisti,
Jason,
Renegade,
Victor Rattlehead,
Love Jones,
Randy Saucepan,
fill in the blank,
Elgin Draw.
All right.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah, that's a good script.
Me, if you've heard this myth before, the late Walt Disney, creator of Disneyland Amusement Park, was put on ice until some future time when science discovers a cure for death. The body rests in a glass coffin in a chamber below Disneyland's Sleeping Beauty Castle. The coffin was modeled after the one that housed a dormant Snow White in Disney's first animated feature, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Disney himself provided the basic design for the chamber. While cancer cells like weasels sucked the air from his lungs, Disney sketched a few rough plans, adding marginal notes to illuminate the more cryptic requests.
He did not believe in bleeding too much to the imagination.
Art directors from several Hollywood movie studios teamed with Disneyland engineers to construct the chamber. Disney's brother Roy reluctantly agreed to finance the operation.
But frankly, Walt, I can't see the money in it.
For stability, the chamber takes the shape of a regular hexagon, Disney's homage to the benzene ring. And when Disneyland's audio animatronic Mr. Lincoln was still in the early design phase, Disney consulted often with the chemist assigned to skin synthesis.
Foreskin, and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this incontinent a new nation conceived by libertines and dedicated to the proposition that all heterosexual white men are created equal.
Disney's objective was a protective tissue so real it sweat. Anything less, a department store mannequin, a dummy in one of those boardwalk wax museums, could scarcely sustain the illusion of life.
Well, you see, Mr. Disney, the benzene hydrocarbons bridge the gap between life and the lack of it.
The chamber's refrigeration system monitors and regulates the temperature and vital signs, if any, of Disney's corpse.
And the original analog method of monitoring was replaced by a state-of-the-art microprocessing unit.
The six walls, poured concrete 8 feet thick, reinforced with steel rods, keep the heat and worms out. A hydroelectric generator, driven by a chute of water in the Disneyland ride, Pirates of the Caribbean provides the chamber's electrical power. And though Disney had every confidence in the continued output of the park's own impressive energy plant, he directed his corporate executives to purchase and stockpile any available under-the-counter plutonium, just in case. Access to the frozen Disney is denied all but close family, business associates, and a carefully screened crew of maintenance people and technicians. Park security's success, however, in keeping out those who don't belong has not been, well, total. Several years ago, a concessionaire was dismissed for, rumor has it, storing raw hamburger patties in the chamber.
Ew!
An elevator in an off-limits turret of the castle transports the visitors to a narrow underground corridor. Ride the moving walkway past simulated rock formations, stalagmites phosphorescing red and orange beneath the overhead black lights, surplus from the chambers of horrors, the tunnels of love of 100 lesser midways long since gone under. Here, at regularly scheduled intervals, the amplified plop of driblets falling and rippling through hidden pools, the sizzle of steaming hot springs.
Hey, watch out for that waterfall of fire directly ahead.
Just a little amber light and cellophane.
Wow, what imagination they have.
We continue toward an arcing wall of incandescent steel, now slowly rising. Pass under it just moments before it retracts entirely and enter the chamber. Inside, that membrane of sweat, formed of the corridor's molten deceptions, freezes and flakes from the back of our necks. A catchy dirge plays low and clear from everywhere at once.
Another advantage of the benzene ring is good acoustics.
Glass tubes of charged argon encircle the walls, glow of dim indigo in the darkness like phosphenes. In this hint of light, we see only the faint wake of our own breath, an icy spray of pale orchid. The walkway curves and carries us to the right, the change in forward direction just perceptible in the tickle of spindles pivoting beneath our feet, cues a certain anticipation, like turning a corner in a funhouse, like the ascent, slow as death, of a roller coaster car up that first steep slope.
Something's gonna happen.
And though we've taken the same ride 1,000 times, the certainty of that one future event makes it no less thrilling. might even be the reason we've returned.
Say, it's awful quiet in here. I could have sworn there was music playing just a...
A sudden single chord loud and rising. A flash of light from above. A small white disc of light projects a cone of quicksilver haze around the glass coffin before us. We lean and strain to see behind the frosted glass as the walkway draws us closer, the chamber's sound systems playing When You Wish Upon a Star.
A tune from Mr. Disney's 1940 animated feature, Pinocchio.
We near the foot of the coffin and...
Oh my gosh, there's something in there!
A suggestion of form escapes through the glare and frost, begins to materialize as blowers concealed in the coffin's base slowly clear the surface of the glass. Under the rising curtain of mist, we see clearly the image of Disney.
My God!
In shoes, suit, and tie, wedding band and watch, handkerchief in jacket pocket, and a fresh carnation pinned to the lapel. Disney's body and attire, flesh, cloth, and metal, appear all of a color, a single shade of electric blue, stippled with a violet shadow. A nice effect.
Of light, cold, or death?
Maybe some art director got carried away with the phosphorescent paint.
Rounding Disney's head, we hit the perigee in our elliptic tour of the coffin, the closest we'll ever get to him.
In this lifetime.
To that face, avuncular, close as the old zenith on Sunday evenings, bathed and prone on the living room carpet in the warmth of flannel just washed and dry, elbows to the floor, chin raised on fists, feet in the air dangling, waiting, through the trailers, commercial spots, station identifications, through that timeless zone between shows, waiting as the NBC Peacock logo spreads its tail for the opening strains of that familiar theme on Color's Wonders, for Tinkerbell's animated flight across the screen, for the perfect voice of a man we'll never see, announcing tonight's episode, a truly special episode. The Swamp Fox, Johnny Tremaine, Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett, Texas John Slaughter, El Fago Baca, Zorro, Gallagher, Kilroy, Pollyanna, Toby Tyler, Moochie.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Pop. Hi, Mr. Preston.
Hi, Moochie.
Mickey Mouse and Minnie. Donald Duck. Goofy.
Gosh.
Pluto. Professor Ludwig von Drake.
Let me introduce myself. How do you do? I am Professor Ludwig von Drake. And today we are going to discuss the wonderful world of color. In fact, I got it all written down here in black and white.
Johnny Appleseed. Pecos Bill.
Pecos Bill was quite a cowboy down in Texas, and a western Superman, to say the least. He was the roughest, toughest...
Casey Jones. Casey at the Bat. Sancho the Steer. Stormy the Thoroughbred. Concho the Coyote who wasn't. Chico the Coyote.
Who was?
Greta the Greyhound. Ida the Beagle. Nicky the Wild Dog. Hector the Stowaway Dog. Minato the Wolverine.
Ooh, shiny.
Joker the Ocelot. Sammy the Seal.
When a couple of fun-loving boys discover a way-out seal at the beach, that's a picnic.
Flash, the teenage otter.
Growing up on a small Missouri farm, Mr. Disney developed a love for animals and nature.
Eskimos of Alaska.
Thousands of years before Columbus reached the New World, a migration of Asiatic nomads moved eastward across the great ice bridge that joined the continents. They were refugees from the bleak plains of Siberia, driven by hunger and the urge to find a new homeland.
People of the desert. Prowlers of the Everglades. Horses of the West. Killers of the High Country. Monsters of the Deep.
God help us all.
Spain, Morocco, Samoa, Holland, Lapland, Antarctica, the South Pole. Man in flight, man in space, man in the moon, Mars and beyond.
In this exciting age when everyone seems to be talking about the future possibilities of space travel, there's much speculation on what we will discover when we visit other worlds. Will we find planets with only a low form of vegetable life? Or will they be mechanical robots controlled by super intelligent beings?
Our friend the Atom. Mathmagicland.
Where am I?
Mathmagicland.
Mathmagicland? Where are you?
And Disneyland. The story of A Further Report on A Trip Through An Adventure in Holiday Time at Inside.
Who was it?
Disneyland. The Park After Dark, Disneyland 61, Disneyland Goes to the World's Fair, Disneyland's 10th Anniversary. Waiting, even now, during that distant Kodak minute, for Disney himself. Calm and relaxed in his studio office, pupils twinkling below puffed lids as he stands before a wall of books, bound in leather, neatly arranged, fingers with infectious delight a coonskin cap, a baseball bat, a musket, a model rocket, a gold doubloon. Waiting for the moment he looks up, meets our eyes, and, though not surprised, seems pleased to see us. Pleased to get this chance to talk to us. He's been so busy lately, we can just see it in his face. So blue we reach to adjust the tint of the color set we never had. The trenches in his brow, lines sparking from his sleeping eyes. So deep beneath the layers of pancake, we can't see the bottom. Disney's face, the mustache, a trademark older than the mouse itself, the swept-back hair, unguent strands catching the light like foam on the breakers of a violet sea. After all, still smiling, glistening under the spot.
Glistening?
Speak to us again, Walt, like you used to. Tell us what you have in your hands, how if only it could talk, the tales it would tell. How Walt Disney, spokesman for the speechless, the inanimate, the dead, tells them, for that short parcel of time the network let you, for one last glorious hour, before bed and troubled sleep, Monday mornings in schoolrooms, musty with wet clothes, chalk dust, and stale milk. Before the walkway takes us from this chamber, back through the corridor, the steel wall descends behind us. Dying glow beneath it like a winter's twilight. And, in the elevator's silence, we're returned to the surface, wondering...
Are there tickets left? And time? To do it again?
When you wish upon a star... Make no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you.
The Frozen Disney was written and produced for radio by Ken Jones and features Lynn, Grace, Conch, and an audio animatronic, Rolf. What are you going to do next, Rolf?
I'm going to Disneyland!
Upon a star... As dreamers do.
Oh! 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 O
list of the magazine subscriptions.
This has been the Ubu Radio Theater Hour, coming at you every first Monday at 11 p.m. here on KBOO Portland.
We won't be back until next month, but have no fear, because there's radio theater every Monday night.
And you can podcast us on the web.
Go to kboo.fm and look for Ubu, spelled U-B-U.
Stay tuned for the Tiki Cha-Cha Club.
We better start the show rolling.
Ole, ole, it's show time.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
welcome to our tropical hideaway, you lucky people, you. If we weren't in the show starting right away, we'd think the audience too.
All together in the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
Our magnificent production is yet to come, so strum the guitar and beat the drum. We've been